The world of art and the world of science rarely intersect, or so we're usually led to believe, but not for Daniel Cohn, a Brooklyn-based artist who became the artist-in-residence at the Broad Institute at MIT and Harvard in 2003. He co-founded the Broad Visualization Group last year, and the artwork from this residency is being shown at the Cynthia Reeves Gallery until July 10th. Damien Young is a synthetic organic chemist at the Institute, where he is a project leader of the Chemical Biology Program. And Daniel and Damien have had an ongoing discussion regarding the nature of art and science. I'm pleased to welcome them to our show to continue that discussion. Hi.
Hi, Leonard.
Now, Leonardo da Vinci immediately comes to mind when I think about art and science, but other than that, have I missed something? Begin with you, Damien.
Well, it's very interesting in a sense that Daniel and I have talked a lot in terms of how art can inform science and science can, in fact, inform art. And most of us are sort of led to believe, actually, that I think that these are two very separate worlds. But and Daniel and I have been able to sort of find a common space to interact in. And I think that it's really helped me sort of think about what I do on a day-to-day basis.
But when we talk about art, we're talking about art here, because when I went to art school, there were those people who did medical drawings, but that was kind of technical. There were people who do models to visualize what mathematical equations suggest to some physicist. But we're talking about something else here, aren't we?
I think the reference to Da Vinci is actually a really good one, because in some way the Quattrocento was the last time at which art and science actually were not that different, and were it was possible to be both an artist and a scientist and a very point thinker.
And be called a Renaissance man.
An interesting thing happens in that period where what we now know as perspective is invented, and people think of that as sort of a natural phenomenon, but it's actually an encoding of a moment or of a complete conceptual framework that includes a shift, you know, that encodes the shift from a medieval space to the birth of science.
And is it important to note that Brunelleschi came up with the idea of one-point perspective, but he didn't paint? It was Masaccio who then translated that into paintings?
Is that like
the scientists? Because Brunelleschi was
actually
an architect.
I think it's actually a collective invention, and we all participate in the invention of reality and in the invention of the conceptual tools with which we apprehend reality, and we do so as partial creators. And the collaboration, I think, is really important. In terms of the present moment, I think what is interesting for both of us is that in the same way that perspective encoded or gave us tools to understand this new space, we're now, for the past 150 years, in a new post-Newtonian space, and we are still developing the tools to understand that space. And we both believe, and a number of people at the Broad and a number of artists, that there's a need to reach across these disciplines in order to understand the present better.
Damien, when you were studying in college, studying science, were you thinking at all about art, or did you see that as what those other people did?
Absolutely. I think that it was sort of on the other side of my universe. but Daniel and I have really discussed this matter quite extensively. And, you know, we have a very formulaic approach to how we learn science. So I'm a maker of molecules, and so my understanding of the atom really comes to me from a quantum mechanical understanding, which was derived in the early 1900s. But ultimately, that's a very incomplete understanding of what the structure of the atom is. And so even though I've never seen one of these before, I have some idea of what it is, but only through that mathematical understanding. And so only through interacting with Daniel and being able to visualize this construct that I work with every day, have I really appreciated it more? And actually, it's given me the ability to think about my science in a very new and interesting way.
But what I see in this show, Daniel, your show at the Cynthia Reeves Gallery, which has been described as a summary of a 5-year exchange between you and another scientist, genomic scientist, Dr. Todd Golub, what I see is abstract paintings.
Well, I think the fact that this is art meeting science and not different kinds of work in illustration or trying to describe scientific concepts is that in some way we're on both sides of this divide. We are fundamental thinkers. We are trying to understand, to pose very broad questions and to understand the universe in some sense. And with Todd Golub, who was the person who invited me to the Broad in the first place, we fairly quickly came to this understanding that we saw art and science as both knowledge generation fields, and that you could describe both art and science as trying to describe the world from a point of view within a tradition with the tools of that tradition to the best of their ability, which is often not very, you know, it's pretty incomplete. And speaking at, you know, working as a painter, I'm able to bring to bear a fairly old tradition on another, on a contemporary space in and interfacing with another tradition. And I don't particularly want to step outside of my tradition. I want to bring to bear the whole complexity and depth of my tradition and impact the tradition of science and see what happens.
There's a painter, Dorothea Rockburn, who applies mathematics to creating her paintings. But you're not talking about that, are
you? No, it's more, I mean, my work before this was mostly interiors. It was about place and about place in a complex way. It was about it's about the patterns that we live in. And so it happened to be figurative, but I think what it encodes are these complex patterns that you absorb as you walk through the street, as you listen to someone speaking, as you watch the light shift over a landscape. And when I met Todd and sort of had this insight that I could both learn a great deal about the present through this place called genomics and also satisfy some very deeply personal needs, I realized that what I was trying to describe was the place of science or society today through the place of science, through the lens of science. And so I'm trying to understand some of the problematics that get generated through genomics today. How do we address or try and represent high-dimensional data? How do we understand and represent complex networked systems? There's a whole series of questions that are actually questions that we ask ourselves as non-scientists all the time. In our navigating the internet in different ways, we are always absorbing the world in this new way, and we are developing tools to navigate it, but those tools have not yet gelled. We're really in a new space of meaning, as far as I can see.
Well, Damien, as you said earlier, when you were studying organic chemistry, art was somewhere else. So what then drew you to this project?
Initially, I was giving a talk at a very scientific technical meeting, and I actually used a metaphor to explain how I approach what it is I do. And I said that when I sit down to design a set of experiments, I actually look at that as a white canvas, and the tools, much like as an artist has to actually construct a colorful, meaningful object from that canvas, is much the same way as the 200-year-old science of synthetic organic chemistry, and how I will use the 200 years worth of tools to apply to make a set of molecules is much the same way the artist paints on a canvas. And so Todd actually was in the audience, and he actually thought that it would be great for Daniel and I to interact, given the sort of that metaphor. And we talked very early on in Daniel's experience at the Broad Institute, and our conversations were very free-flowing, and he posed some very, very interesting questions to me, questions that as a person who's trained in the science, I had never really contemplated on the very same objects, these small molecules. These molecules contain carbon, oxygen, nitrogen. What does that look like? What do these lines mean that you use to represent these molecules? And so ultimately, we really began to explore the sort of essence of the science that I studied for many, many years in a very novel way.
So did that help you clarify your own
what Absolutely.
You were
doing
in
and your what, own I work? Understand, what I understood, what became very clear to me is that we have a description that is grossly incomplete of what we're working with here. And so even though quantum mechanics tells you a great deal about atomic structure, molecular structure, it must evolve. It must continue to evolve. And it was only through a conversation that I had with Daniel that I actually began to understand that. And I think that scientists should continue to evolve their understanding in a more complete sense.
Right? Well, isn't one of the problems with quantum mechanics that it's hard to visualize some of the things, the fact that something can be two different
Absolutely.
Things simultaneously?
Absolutely. I mean, the tenets of quantum mechanics is there. You cannot precisely know the position and the speed of anything. It's not possible because of the way in which the photons interact with electrons. It actually perturbs the system. So ultimately, we cannot understand discretes. So what we begin to understand are these things that molecules aren't. Things where electrons cannot be, you know, energy levels. So what happens between those two levels? These are things that quantum mechanics has a very hard time actually explaining, especially to a person who's not a scientist themselves, a layperson. And so I have been very, very interested to explore these concepts and to, you know, understand if we can represent them in various ways.
Well, before, did you think in two dimensions or did you think in three dimensions?
Well, we as chemists have to think in two dimensions because we're forced to represent, you know, these three-dimensional tiny objects, molecules, on a flat piece of paper. And so being able to go between the two dimensions and the three dimensions is very difficult even for us as chemists. But ultimately, it's much harder for people who don't know the formalisms that we have in place to represent that three-dimensional space on a two-dimensional page. So Daniel and I did a fairly quick overview with, well, what do these lines mean? What does a bold line mean? Well, it means a line. It means something's coming out of the plane of this page. What does that hash mark mean? It means something that's coming below the plane of the page. So, but in essence, we still lose a lot by actually representing this three-dimensional entity in that way.
Of course, artists have been doing the same thing over the years, taking three-dimensional things and translating them into two-dimensional planes.
Well, yes, and what's actually interesting is that the two dimensions can actually hold an infinity of dimensions. I mean, one of the central elements of this new paradigm is that we're looking at dimensionality differently. And you can, you know, if you're doing, for example, a gene expression experiment, you can measure the activity state of 20,000 genes. And you consider in data space that each of those genes, the expression level of each of those genes, is a dimension. And how do you represent that kind of space? And so what's fascinating for me is to play with the visual space and to think with the visual space, because that's something that's central to painting or to visual art making is that that's how we think. You know, there's a certain amount of thought that goes on sort of inside the cranium, but the rest happens in interaction with matter. And in the discussion with Damien, what was interesting were these moments to me where I was aware of my own thought action in some way. And I remember the first discussion we had, Damien was playing with an organic chemistry model, and it was a very simple one with just black lines connecting nodes. And I went back into the studio, which I had at the Broad at the time in the lab, and I started to draw this thing with straight lines kind of rotating through space. And then I looked back and I said to myself, molecules don't have straight lines in them. What is this straight line thing? And I thought, oh, there are relationships between these nodes. And so what does that relationship encode? So I went back and asked Damien, and he said, oh, that's a shared electron. That's a covalent bond. And our discussion went forward in that way. And for me, it was very much about practicing in the studio. And the body of work that's developed from that is really about encoding these many complex discussions and trying to understand their repercussion in painterly space in some sense.
It's interesting that art and science are both ways that humans develop, things that humans develop to try to explain the world. And that they have so digressed from each other over the years is kind of sad. This is an attempt, I assume, to try to find ways to connect again and to find ways to communicate, even though the languages are so different.
Well, we're actually on a bit of a mission, I think. And I think we both believe, and there are actually many people now who are working in this direction, that in order to understand the present that we are in, we need to work across these boundaries, and that it's not just something that's fun to do, but it's actually vital to moving forward, and that it has political implications as well, that we need to understand the present better.
Now, you've also done some pieces that were commissioned by the Metropolitan Transit Authority.
There was one. I had a residency in the World Trade Center in 98-99.
Not related in any way to this?
Not related in any way to this, except that I started working in large pieces and grids, and that sort of, there's, you know, as artists, we have our own history of making, and the forms that we develop perdure and lead into other things. So early on at the Broad, I started working in grids, and all the work you'll see if you come to the show at Cynthia Reeves is based on interactions of grids. And I sort of want to say that, so painting is a physical thing, and these paintings are mostly fairly large, and they're red with the body. So I really encourage people to come and see them.
On the wall and on the floor.
On the wall, on the floor, in oil, in paper. Some are digital prints that are, you know, there's a digital print that is 242 8-inch tiles, which covers, I think it's a 16 by 10-foot wall. And they get read very differently.
We have to leave it there, but I want to thank the both of you so much for being with us. We've been talking with Daniel Cohn, who is the artist in residence at the Broad Institute, Damon Young, a synthetic organic chemist at the Institute, and it's been a pleasure speaking to you. The show, by the way, at the Cynthia Reeves Gallery at 535 West 24th Street will be on display until July 10th.
Thank you, Leonard.
Thanks for doing something on this topic, which we think is really important at the moment. Thanks.